Do you think the world is getting better or worse? Unsurprisingly, a huge majority of people today believe the world is getting worse. Maybe this global pessimism is the result of a culture bathed in bad news, or maybe we inherently know the earth-shaking truth presented at the heart of this book. Something is deeply wrong with our planet, and we are powerless to fix it. The great controversy not only unveils the origin of human degradation, but also discloses the titanic struggle raging below the din of pandemics and peril, corruption and carnage, murder and mayhem. In this astonishing work, you will discover that evil has a face, good has a champion, and sin has an end. If you want to prepare for the end of this world and the glorious world to come, you must read this book. Join the campaign to distribute millions of copies of The Great Controversy by Ellen G. White to people in and around your communities. Contact your local church for more information or text us at +27 73 470 3520. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Okay, so Pastor Doug Batchelor, as well as Mark Findy, have weighed in on a subject matter that is doing the rounds in the SDA Church. That has to basically do with the coming of Jesus. Remember I shared with you a few weeks ago, I think, or I've been sharing with you over the past couple of weeks about, when is Jesus coming again? And you've been hearing some dates. You've been hearing a year. You've been hearing 2027. Have you not? If you're hearing that for the first time today, oh, okay. Surprise. I am surprised. But, yeah. The people are speaking and they are saying, Uguti, you know what? Actually, we are... They're preparing in a way that maybe other people are not preparing. So I want to share what the two pastors had to say on this particular matter regarding when is Jesus coming again. And yes, I know that when we go into the Bible, especially I think the one that I often quote is Matthew chapter 24, where it will tell you, in Matthew chapter 24, that no one knows the day nor the time. So why is this a conversation? Why is this a conversation? And that's what I want to share with you this morning, the why it actually is even a conversation. I want to start off with Pastor Doug Batchelor. And then after Pastor Doug Batchelor, we're going to have Pastor Mark Findlay. Okay, so let's first have Pastor Doug. Ooh, excuse me. Doug Batchelor share his commentary. Here we go.
Well, you'll also find that there's a pattern in the Bible for 7,000 years for world history. Now, I'm going to share with you, and I need to just make an announcement here, a disclaimer. I'm going to share with you some reasons I think that the Lord's coming is near. We can know when His coming is near. We may not know when He's coming, the day and the hour, but we can know when His coming is near. And the Bible says, Jesus is very clear, Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, but of that day and hour knows no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Watch out, there's one on the radio now, he's setting a date for the second coming. I don't know if you know who I'm talking about. Got a program here in town. By the way, it's not the first date that he set. He owns a radio station. I've been real tempted to tell him I'll give him $1,000 right now for his entire radio network if he thinks he's going to be gone after this date. If he's got faith he's going to be gone, he'll sign it over to me and I'll give him $1,000. I have a feeling he won't take me up on that. Now, we may not know the day and the hour, but can we know when His coming is near? Jesus said, Matthew 24:33. When you see these things, know that it is near. So what I'm sharing with you are some principles of Bible time so you can know His coming is near. Now, next principle is with the Lord, and you'll find this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Let's just think about this for a moment. This is where this 7,000-year principle comes in. Peter says, 2 Peter 3, verse 8, do not forget this one thing. With the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. Peter is actually quoting the Old Testament, where it says in Psalm 90, verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. And then there's one more verse. So I don't even have them all up on the screen because you're becoming mature Bible students. I know you're going to take notes and look them up yourself. Psalm 84, verse 10, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. So you've got this principle, a day like 1,000 years. Well, you know, there is a pattern God sets up. 6 days you work, one day you rest. If you add up Bible chronology, the creation of Adam and Eve is about 6,000 years ago. Just adding up the ages in the Bible. I'm not setting dates. I'm just telling you, if you add up, Adam lived 930 years, and you start adding up all the dates that are given, puts us at about 6,000 years right now. Don't know exactly when. There's a couple of nebulous areas around the time of Noah, but we know that we're in that time. And then how long is the millennium? Well, the word millennium means 1,000 years. A millennium, 1,000 years. 6,000 years, plan of salvation, working to save men. 1,000 years, our planet rests. Then he creates a new heaven and a new earth, and we enter eternity, a total of 7,000 years. Which means the Lord would come somewhere around the end of that 6,000-year period. 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham. 2,000 years from Abraham to Christ. And could it be there's going to be 2,000 years from Christ's first coming to his second coming? Approximately. Matter of fact, if you go from 4 B.C., 2,000 years would have been 1996. Well, that seems like Jesus is late. Some people thought Jesus was coming in 1996. I'll explain that. Park that thought, because I'll get to that in just a minute. So you got this pattern. Now, all through the Bible, you see this 6,000-year pattern. Matter of fact, there's a verse in Revelation 20, verse 4. During the 1,000 years, it says, they live and reign with Christ 1,000 years. So you get 6,000 years, the plan of salvation working in the world to save man, 1,000 years of rest. We live and reign with the Lord during that time, don't we? So it's like 1,000 years of rest. You know, of course, you get 6 plus 1 is 7. And after that 1,000 years, God makes a new heaven and a new earth. He starts a new creation at that time. I've just put some scriptures up on the screen here and a little graph that just kind of shows you this real quick. And the graph is pretty compressed. It's hard to see. But you might jot some of those verses down. I'm going to leave them up there for a moment. And there's some of them I've already referred to. Try to also be able to listen to some of the principles I'm giving you here. No, I'm going to give you a second to do that. There's a quote from Ellen White. I know you heard about the spirit of prophecy the other day. She even says about 40 times in her writings that the world's history is going to last about 6,000 years. And you got the book Great Controversy, page 518, and you got the book Adventist Home, page 539. I'm just giving you a couple. For 6,000 years, Satan has struggled to maintain possession of the earth. Now, God's original purpose in its creation is accomplished. The saints of the Most High will take possession of the kingdom forever and ever. And so, for 6,000 years, Satan's work of rebellion has made the earth to tremble. He made the world a wilderness. I think there's a second part of that. And destroyed the cities thereof, and he opened not the houses of his prisoners. For 6,000 years, his prison house has received God's people. And he would have them held them as captive forever. But Christ has broken his bonds and set the prisoners free. And so there's this principle all through the Bible.
Cam, see, it's taking too long for me. That was Pastor Doug's bachelor's take. Now, I've added to the mix the voice of also evangelist Pastor Mark Finley. Here goes.
He also has a number of statements about time setting that are very difficult to overcome if you want to say very affirmatively that this is a time when Jesus is coming. Even if you want to say you may not know 100%, like, how should we look at time setting in light of all of these different subjects?
First, we should look at it through the eyes of the Bible.
Yeah.
And then we should look at it through the eye. See, Matt, the disciples asked a very similar question.
Yeah. They want to know when Jesus is coming back.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm sick of being here. I know a lot of other people.
Exactly.
So I think we have this tendency to want to know.
Yeah.
You know, people want to know secrets. They want to know, you know, when Jesus is coming back. So it's like, we have to really fight against this urge to not set time.
Yeah. You are not so different than the disciples 2,000 years ago.
I really struggle with it. I do.
So let me reach a couple of texts, the balancing text.
Okay.
So Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They wanted to know time.
Yeah.
They said, Lord, you're the resurrected Lord.
I know.
Are you going to restore
the time?
What does Jesus say? He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But it's not for you to know the times or seasons. That not your major role. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the issue here, what Jesus is saying to the disciples, and I think he says it to us, you can know the general outline of the times, but the specific times and seasons you will not know. But what you can know is a heart experience with God, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So what we're seeking for today, you know, Hosea 10:1 says, seek you the rain in the time of the latter rain. We are seeking the outpouring of the latter rain on our knees to give the final message, the loud cry, Revelation 18:1, I saw another angel come down from heaven, and the earth was lightened with his glory. Habakkuk 2:14, the knowledge of the Lord and the glory of the Lord will fill the earth. So we're seeking the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We know the impending destruction of thousands of cities is going to come. We know, so we are burdened about those cities, filled with the Spirit, we go in. Now, does that mean we're blind to the signs of the times? You balance Acts 1 out with 1 Thessalonians 5. Look, chapter 1. But concerning the times and seasons, brethren, you've no need that I should write to you. For you know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Christ comes rapidly, quickly, unexpectedly, not secretly. When they say peace and safety, sudden destruction. You see the word safety there. It's the better translation is security. That's what people are looking for today, security. Secure our borders, secure our economy. You know, they're saying peace and security. Sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman. You, brethren, are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You're sons of the light, and we're not of the night of the darkness. Why is it important, though, to know the signs? Next verse, therefore, let's not sleep as others, but let's watch and be sober. Those that sleep, sleep at night. So what God is telling us is it's time to wake up. We live on the knife edge of eternity. Now, what does Ellen White specifically say about time setting? I think these statements, for me, are very difficult to get around. 1851, early writings, page 75. Time has not been a test since 1844, and it will never again be a test. The Lord has shown me that the message of the third angel must go, but it must not be hung on time. I saw that some were getting a false excitement arising from preaching time, but the third angel's message is stronger than time can be. I don't know how you're going to get around that.
Well, that one doesn't discourage me from doing it. What else you got?
All right.
What else?
I'll give you let's see how good this one is.
Okay,
here's another one. I'll give you this next one. Review and Herald, November 27, 1900.
Okay.
You can also find it in Last Day Events. God gives no man a message that it will be 5 years or 10 years or 20 years before this earth's history shall close. He would not give any living being an excuse for delaying the preparation for his appearing. He would have no one say, as did the unfaithful servant, my Lord delays his coming, for this leads to reckless neglect of the opportunities and privileges given to prepare us for that day. So God doesn't give anybody a message that is going to be 5 years, 10 years, or 20 years. In other words, the urgency is to prepare today, but not to set time.
Yeah, no man, that's kind of hard
to get
around.
That's pretty strong.
Yeah.
Look, here's another one. I mean, when you take all of these together, I see a pattern. 1888, she says, some were led into the error of repeatedly fixing upon a definite time for the coming of Christ. The light which was now shining on the subject should have shown them that no prophetic period extends to the second advent, and the exact time of this advent is not foretold. And you can read statement after statement. Here's another one, Great Controversy 456. The repeated efforts to find new dates for the beginning and close of the prophetic periods and the unsound reasoning necessary to sustain these positions not only leads minds away from the present truth, but throws contempt upon all efforts to explain the prophecies. See, the problem with this is, I think there's a couple of problems. I think people are looking at the wrong place. They're looking at time charts and dates rather than events that are to take place. Will cities be destroyed? Yes. Will the Holy Spirit be poured out? Yes. Will the loud cry be given? Yes. Is probation soon to close? Yes. We see all those events, but we don't hang them on prophetic time. God is looking not for prophetic time on the calendar, but he's looking for a people whose heart is committed to him, who he can pour out his Spirit upon, who the work of God on earth can be finished so Jesus can come.
But what if this isn't prophetic time? What if this is, you might call it cosmic time?
What's cosmic time?
Well, it's not a day for a year. It's a day for a day. What if you want to calculate out all of these? Some people might say that the day for the year principle ended when the Bible said time no longer.
Okay.
We no longer use a day for a year. Now we're using a day for a day, a literal day for a day. Mm-hmm. Does that make any difference?
I think it makes a big difference. In Revelation 10, Ellen White comments on Revelation 10. You know, Revelation 10 says there'll be time no longer. And when she comments on that in 7th volume of the Testimonies, page 971, you know, she's commenting on Revelation chapter 10. It says that verse 5 says, the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and earth. So the angel is raising his hand to heaven. Now, when an angel swears by the Creator, I listen to the angel, and it says that there should be time no longer. Now, the word for time there is chronos. And chronos means, we get the word chronology from that. So Bible chronology regarding time, all time, has run out in 1844. Now, Ellen White comments on that. He says, and this to me is so clear, the people of God will never again have a message based on a definite time. So this includes both prophetic time and literal time. You know, the longest time prophecy ran out in 1844, so the people of God are never again. So the issue is not time. What is the issue? Well, Revelation 10 tells you. See, if we stay by the Bible and we stay by the clarity of Ellen White's writings, I think we don't have a problem. She says, the angel swears by him. John says in Revelation, the angel swears by him that lives forever and ever, that there should be time no longer. And Ellen White says, of course, that we read, never again a message on definite time. But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel that he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished. Well, what's the mystery of God that's going to be finished? Colossians 1 says that the mystery of God, verse 27 and onward, the mystery of God is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God is finishing up his mystery. So after 1844, it's not these prophetic time, literal time. It's events that will happen that catapult God's people into preparation for his coming.
Okay.
There we go. I don't know. Are you someone who, where prophecy is concerned, you are drawn into a lot of these sometimes controversial takes that we find in our very conservative Christian community? I don't know how many, I was still young when I heard about all types of reforms in the church. And I started hearing words like extremism and this one, the L word, inili'ing, legalism, yeah? Learned those big concepts quite young. And I've met people who have come, you know, through the church, different churches that I've attended over the years, who perhaps presented what did appear a very, very different kind of lifestyle to what I assumed was my, was normal Christianity. And sometimes reminding me of the wildernesses, you know. I remember I was in primary school and there was this family that came to a church. They didn't stay for long, maybe because they were the only white family. I mean, race politics, South Africa. I don't know, maybe. And they looked like they just looked vintage. Okay. And the kids were not people who went to school. They were in the city though. I don't know if they were doing homeschool. They didn't stay long enough and I was still very young for me to figure, you know, what actually was happening there. But definitely there were people who presented as living almost like in the olden day kind of vibe, like 1800s or so. And the father was very strict and it was very clear, okay, the father is in charge and the mom had a very traditional role. I mean, if you look at the Amish people, you'll kind of see that vibe. And yeah, they gave that vibe. And then I remember more recently, there was also something, you know, where someone also started coming to church. They're always very, very strict. And I don't know, how do you balance it out? Being authentic, wanting to follow scripture, especially, I have to say this, especially when you're a strong reader, maybe of the SOP, Spirit of Prophecy, and you go through Ellen White books and you want to put to practice what you're hearing, but I don't know. Sometimes maybe how things are interpreted is different. Is there only one way of interpreting, you know, information? Or, yeah, God talks to everyone, every priest, the way Abu Angli Ene, and they then determine what the family is going to do. How does it work? I don't know, man. But Kesana, yeah, let me know your take on the matter of date setting. Are you one of those, you prepare your family and you prepare yourself from the perspective of 2027, you must know it's chai. Or it's just, guys, we just need to love God, you know. And when we love God, we do better by him. And because, I don't know, does not bring an element of fear. And not that we must pretend like, no, Jesus is not going to be here for the next 500 years. I just know that I growing up, the scary gospel freaked me out. I'm not even going to lie. Yeah, it scared me. And the waiting game, to be quite honest, kishap kayon, shem. I don't want anyone to scare me no more. Right.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.